Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison now.
I don't know if you've ever seen these hidden camera shows on Dateline, but they had one that they were doing behind the scenes at some used car lots. Some of y'all are nodding. You watch this too. Some of the old ones are the best. And so anyway, a couple of salesmen, they didn't have any problem lying to potential customers. They just customers would come in, they'd just be lying. They went out of their way to cover up any mechanical problems. And I think about this with used car lots. And in Springfield, they had a big deal here a couple of years ago that a salesman knew that the cars in his lot, the odometers had been rolled back. Y'all remember seeing that on the news here in the last couple of years? I want to apologize to any of you who do this for a living, but the used car business has a real knock against it. I mean, it's hard to know if you're being told everything. And you used car salesmen, sometimes I'm thinking, And so when I'm selling a car, I'm thinking, I know everything about this car. How much do I need to tell this person? And I'm thinking, whoa, you're a pastor, you're not a used car salesman, but I tend to sell some used cars every once in a while. And so when they come in, I want to tell them, well, I sold a car that we had here a few weeks ago, and I was watching Dateline NBC, and I thought, what if I'd have had a hidden camera behind me the whole time I was selling this car, or just one in my brain that knew everything I knew about this car? That's why it says it's as is, and you can figure out what is. And he walked up and he's looking around it. And the more he walked and he asked questions, I kept just telling more and more of the truth and more and more of the truth. And I've done this for every customer that's came to me to try to buy my car for the year and a half that I've had it for sale. And everybody, by the time I disclosed everything that I knew about it, walked away and said, we're not interested. Oh, I understand why used car salesmen do this. The whole truth and nothing but the truth don't always produce what you want. And so I'm sitting here thinking about this, about selling this car. And so I finally sold it, and I told him everything that I knew about it. And I said, all right, I'm lowering the price, and he bought it. Praise God, it's gone. You know, he's called me every week since he bought it, telling me that he found out something else that was wrong, things I didn't even know that were wrong. And I'm thinking, how do used car salesmen do it? And I just, this whole thing went off inside of me in a sermon. I want you to think about this. What kind of story would hidden cameras uncover if they were hidden in churches across the country? And I'm not talking just in the youth director, the pastor, the principal, the different people that are here working. I'm talking about in the lives of the church. Now, obviously, all those would be included also. But what kind of story would be told if hidden cameras did this story on the life of the church? And you say, well, I'm here on Sunday morning. Nothing's hidden in my life. I'm talking about the life of the church on Friday night where you're at. Young people, last night where you were at and what you were doing, what you were talking about. Hidden cameras everywhere. Dateline, NBC, Christian Ministries Church, hidden cameras. What's going on in the lives of Christians? Oh, this is going to be a good sermon. It'd be quite a story, wouldn't it? I can see the headlines now, and not just Christian Ministries. I'm talking about any church here evangelical in the United States of America. Christians who play charades could be a headline. Or pretenders in the pews. Praise God we don't have pews. That headline wouldn't work here. You know, it would confirm what many already believe, that the church is full of hypocrites. I mean, really, that's what, and it seems like over the last couple weeks, I've heard this a lot, and I just, it tends to keep coming back to hypocrisy and what's going on in the church. I mean, it's difficult to believe Christianity is true when so many of its followers lead contradictory lives. See, it's hard to believe in what Christianity promotes when true Christians, or what they call true Christians, born again believers, are going out living the way they are. And so today I want to talk about this. See, it reminds me of a man who told the pastor he doesn't go to church because there are so many hypocrites there. The pastor responded by saying, "Oh, don't let that stop you. There's always room for one more." Always room for a month. See, some of what you'll hear this morning, I've researched and I have found and I have studied the word in all the areas I'm going to be talking about this morning. But I want you to know right off the bat, they're not all my words. It's not all my jokes. I took them somewhere else because today I just don't want to be a hypocrite while I'm speaking on hypocrisy. So that's just a little thing to throw out there. You know, we get tired of people saying one thing and living something that's completely opposite. We do. We get tired of that in our own lives. They say one thing and then they do something totally different. A hypocrite is, let's just define it this morning, it's a person who pretends to have beliefs or practices which he or she does not actually possess. Let me say that one more time because you got to get this to get the whole sermon that I'm talking this morning. A hypocrite is a person who pretends to have beliefs or practices which he or she does not actually possess. That's what a hypocrite is. The term used in the Bible comes from an ancient Greek theater. I found this very interesting, where one actor would often play two parts. When saying something humorous, he'd hold up a mask with a smiley face. And if you've done any study in theater, you would be aware of this type of acting. Something funny, they hold up a smiley face. When playing a tragic part, he'd hold up a mask with a sad face. And a good actor could imitate the speech, the mannerisms, and conduct of the character he was portraying. The word hypocrite literally means, when you read it in Scripture, one who hides behind a mask. It's not truly who you are. And my prayer this morning, as we're talking about Christianity, is we don't have a bunch of people who claim Christianity but are just hiding behind a mask that says Christian on it. So we've got to be something different. One reason that there's so many hypocrites in the church is because not all church people are Christians. Not all church people are Christians. Going to church will not automatically change someone's behavior. Please hear me when I say this. Going to church will not change someone's behavior, just automatically. It just won't happen. Going to Christian school will not automatically change your child's behavior. Whatever you are doing as far as youth group on Sunday night, they're not going to change your behavior. People go to church for all sorts of reasons. Maybe out of habit. Well, that's just what we do. Maybe out of ritual. Maybe because they're seeking the truth. Or perhaps, and I've seen this a lot in my circle of churches that I have ran in for the majority of my life, a lot of people just like to be there to network with other people. Why? Because in the church, there's a lot of prosperous people. Good businessmen, different things, and I need to be there to network with them and rub shoulders with them. You know, or maybe it's just because you promised your parents you'd be here, or you promised your spouse that you would go when you got married, and I'm just trying to stand up to my part of the deal. But no, all of that doesn't make you a Christian just because you're in church. Going to church, and I have said this 100 times, doesn't make you a Christian any more than going in the garage makes you a car. It just doesn't happen. We got to live with the possibility that what some people perceive as hypocrisy in the church is in fact mistaken identity. I want you to think about that today. A lot of what people are perceiving as Christianity is actually mistaken identity. Some people are no more Christian than I'm Hispanic just because I like Mexican food. See, I want you to know, people look like they're Christians because they get up on Sundays and they go to a place called church. But actually, I want to talk about this because just coming to church, if we get a hold of it, doesn't make us a Christian. Then I want to know what a real Christian looks like. I want to know what they look like. See, actually, this should take some pressure off of those of you who are investigating Christianity and thinking, well, I wonder about that church. And we have some visitors here today, and you may be here today. Well, I'm kind of wondering about that church, and I'm kind of wondering about the people there. And one of the things that I love, a lot of people's testimony here, is I just know the first time I came here, I just felt overwhelmed by the presence of God through God's people who said hi to you. Boy, they're just the friendliest church. Everybody came up and shook our hand, and they were just so nice, and I just knew this is where I was supposed to be. And I have heard that a lot, but I've also heard people say, that's what I thought in the beginning. If you're coming here because of people, people will fail you. And someone, some Sunday, won't say hi to you that did the first Sunday you were here, and you better watch it, because all of a sudden you'll start defining Christianity based on something that was never to define Christianity. So if you're here today, I want to take some pressure off of you if you're checking out Christianity. Don't define it. Don't define it by what you see in churches across this country. Because really, here's the thing. People aren't expected to act like a Christian if they're not one. I mean, hey, just going to church, if we get a hold that that doesn't make us a Christian, then you being in a church on Sunday not being a Christian, that ought to take some pressure off. Wow, I never thought about that, but I don't need to look at people and say, oh, it's people. But people are hurting the cause of Christ. I believe that wholeheartedly, because they're looking at a mask. They're not looking inside. And I've been making a comment here a lot lately. Yeah, I know they messed up, but I know their heart. You ever heard anybody say that? You can handle someone messing up, saying something wrong, doing something that was just totally, why did they do that, when you really know their heart? And I know their heart. I know that's not them. That's just not. I know their heart. And I know that as you know that, you've got to take some of your expectations off of people. And that's what I've been really, really talking a lot about and trying to help minister to people over the last few weeks as I've been thinking about this. You can appreciate someone who's counting the cost, and you know they are. But you got to be careful about getting frustrated with someone who's not. And as we grow and disciple people here, we've got to always watch that legalism doesn't start being our mode of operation. And coming across like we are the judge. I want to also say, without Jesus and submitting to his way, you'll never experience true joy and peace that you could have. And a lot of times, we're okaying the lifestyle we're living. See, you're not expected to act like a Christian when you're not one. So that kind of relieves you a little bit. Oh, good. Now I don't have to stand up to all those standards. What I'm telling you is, if that's your mindset, you might want to get saved. You might want to experience who Jesus is and make him Lord, so that you could experience some real joy and some real peace in life. Without Jesus, there is none. And see, if you'll get a hold of that, he'll give you the power to make the change. He'll give you the power. I visited with a guy this past week who basically said, Ashley, and here's his words, I'm just not sure I want to live by the Bible. Because I was giving counsel and talking to someone about, here's what the Bible says, here's the standard of the word, and as I was sharing that with him, and I was sharing, here's what the Bible says about this, here's what the Bible says about that, and he'd ask a question, and I'd go to Scripture, and I'd say, here's what the Bible says about that. And it was just amazing how the Holy Spirit, you know how he does that, he just continued to feed to me the words that were his words right out of Scripture as it was coming up, as I needed it, and God was just bringing that to me. And finally, I said, here's the thing. The reason you're arguing with me on every point is because obviously the Bible is not your source, is not your standard of how to live life. So let me introduce you to Jesus. And I thought, we're getting ready to experience salvation. Angels are going to be shouting in heaven. It's going to be a great day. And I told him all about Jesus and how he can make such a difference in his life. And here's what he said. I just don't know if I want to live by all those things. And I just about, I mean, I grabbed my breath. Are you kidding? But there was something real profound that went off on me when he said that. Wouldn't that be a lot better than going out there and being a hypocrite? Well, I don't know. It's a good question. That kind of went off on me, and I thought, no, I'd rather him maybe get saved than not get saved at all. And so, I mean, I just kept fighting back and forth. Well, maybe saved, maybe means that he might be. Then let's just go ahead and say this prayer and get you to a place where maybe you're sincere. God judges the heart, not me. We'll just get you saved. But here's what, just the Holy Spirit, as he was giving me that, I said, you know what? You know where I'm at. You know where God's at. You know where his commands are. I'll tell you, here's what you need to do. And I walked him through the Roman road, and I said, here's what's going to have to happen. But I'm not making you. I'm asking you if you'd like to. And he goes, let me think about it. All right. I want you to pray for this man because I've not heard back from him. Sad deal. But you know what? Nobody's going to call him a hypocrite. Back to what I was talking about, because I can get on the side road for a while, but some people in the church just aren't really Christians in the first place. And that leads to another question. Why does it appear that so many Christians are hypocrites? See, I think it results from the confusion about knowing what a real Christian is. In fact, as we better understand what a true Christian is, we'll have a better understanding of what a hypocrite is. We need to know the difference in church this morning. We need to know the difference, because you just got to know, if you start talking about church, you'll hear somebody talk about a hypocrite. You will. I do it. I mean, every time I'm bragging on the things of God, people start talking about hypocrites. Three characteristics this morning of a genuine Christian. These deal with the present, the past, and the future. The present, the past, and the future. The first one, real Christians are forgiven sinners. Real Christians are forgiven sinners. Now, I want to talk about this. See, we're starting with the present. The first feature of a bona fide Christian is that they are forgiven sinners. Perhaps you've seen the bumper sticker that reads, Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven. Now, I understand what that bumper sticker means, but it also is kind of like a free pass to go sin. I don't understand what's going on. The Bible never says that Christ followers are perfect. It does say that those who surrender their lives to him will be perfectly forgiven. Have you ever had someone who did you wrong come up and say, I messed up, I want to ask for your forgiveness? And then the next day, they do the same thing. Then they come up and say, will you forgive me? And then the next day, they do the same thing. Then they come up and say, will you forgive me? Before long, does that forgiveness thing just kind of start going, were they sincere about that? I think a lot of times that has to do with the life of a Christian. When they get saved, they come up and they say, God, would you forgive me? And he says, emphatically, yes. Absolutely, I forgive you. And I separate your sin as far as the east is from the west. I throw it in the deepest part of the ocean not to be remembered against you again. I'm thrilled to be able to do this for you. Yes. The next day, God, would you forgive me? Yes. The next day, God, would you forgive me? The same sin over and over and over and over and over again. And God continues to forgive, because presently he is going to be our Savior. But there comes a time when you ask forgiveness so much that you think, okay, I'm not asking forgiveness for that again. And you don't ask forgiveness. And it's the same sin that you've asked 100 times for. And presently, you're walking around with unforgiveness. And when you walk around with unforgiveness, when you walk around knowing that you have unconfessed sin, that you've done wrong to the Father, and you walk around with that, it starts eating you up and it removes you from that person. Because if you know you've done someone wrong, the last thing you want to do is hang out with them. When you know you've done someone wrong, you avoid them. And I think it's the same thing with God, but when you will confess your sin and say, I'm sorry, there comes a point where you finally go, you know what? I am sorry I did that. I've got his forgiveness and I'm not doing that again. Now, it may take two or three times, and that's why God continues to say, I will forgive you. But there's got to come a point in a bona fide Christian's life that they sit there and ask for it and go, I got to quit this. This can't keep happening. I got to quit doing this. See, a real Christian, they experience the forgiveness of sin. There's a difference between a sinner and a hypocrite. There is a difference. There's an unspoken assumption that a Christian is someone who doesn't sin, and that's not true. That's just not true. Nothing could be further from the truth. In reality, it's just the opposite. An unspoken assumption that a Christian is someone who doesn't sin. Church, hear this. Christians sin. Oh, they're not perfect. That's why we all need Jesus. I get sick and tired of people blaming their parents for the way they are. If your parents were perfect, then they wouldn't have needed Jesus, but we all need Jesus. So we got to get past holding people accountable for wrong actions and forgive them so that we can experience some forgiveness. 1 John 1, verse 8, puts it very clearly. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. A hypocrite or one who wears a mask claims to be free from faults. A Christian, on the other hand, freely admits the fact that he or she is a sinner. Hear me. A hypocrite says, I have no faults. A Christian says, I have messed up royally, and through the blood of Jesus, I've been forgiven, and I'm going to walk in that forgiveness, and I'm sorry that I ever did it. I hate it. I hate that sin. I hate where I walked. I hate the attitude I was in there. I don't like anything about that, but through Jesus, I'm a born-again believer, and born again, I'm going to walk into a new life, and that old man's not got me anymore. See, there's a difference between a hypocrite and a Christian who has sinned. Are you seeing it? 1 John 1:9 describes the difference between a hypocrite and an honest sinner. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. A forgiven sinner consistently seeks cleansing from sin. Presently, continually. This is present tense. We as Christians have to acknowledge that we messed up probably 5 or 10 minutes ago. Hopefully it's not the same one you messed up yesterday and needed forgiveness for. Because we're growing in our sanctification. We're growing in being more and more like God. But we can never get as right as what Jesus is. That's why we have to claim him for our justification. There's a difference. We as Christians, we are sinners. Let me say that again. We were sinners saved by grace. And I like to say it like this. But once we are saved by the grace of Almighty God through Jesus Christ, we are now saints who occasionally sin. That's the difference. Before I knew Jesus, I was a sinner who messed up royally, and then I got saved by his grace, and I become a saint who occasionally sins. A saint is a person who is holy, who will be in heaven after this life, and it's all because of Jesus. So when you hear Saint Thomas, Saint Matthew, Saint, and you hear all these different names of saints that different churches have put the name on them, you being associated with Jesus are a saint because you've been forgiven of your sins and you'll spend eternity in heaven. Well, I'm just a sinner. Well, then you need saved. You need saved so you can be a saint. And you can be a saint and then you put the name in, your name. Here years ago, break away and tell a story here real quick. Here years ago, I got into a little argument with one of the guys I worked with. And that was something that happened every once in a while. And if you work with people, you get in arguments. And so arguments, disagreements, just not seeing it the same way, you call it whatever you want. This was an argument. And it was pretty heavy. And I was frustrated. Well, this was right at the beginning of the cell phone age. And I didn't know a lot about cell phones, but I just got this one that I graduated from the flip phone. It was before smartphones. They were all dumb phones at this time. But you still had to be smart at that point to use a dumb phone. And so we had this thing closed, and you would flip it open, and you had to have it open to use it. Well, I was going to get this new phone that you didn't have to flip open. And so I got it, and I carry it, put it in my pocket, lay it down. The problem was every once in a while, I hit this combination of buttons accidentally, and it would do what they call pocket call. Has anybody here ever pocket called somebody? Okay, good. Y'all know what that term means. That means it's in your pocket. You accidentally push some buttons. Next thing you know, you're connected with somebody. I have people pocket call me all the time. Every week I get a pocket call from somebody. And it's quite amazing. But I guess it's because my name is Ashley and I'm first on their phone list. So I get pocket called a lot. But anyhow, here's what happened. I got in this really good argument. And I won, in my opinion. And I was mad at the way he had talked and the way that he had said some things, and he was wrong. He was flat out wrong. And what I was doing was I was in the car driving home, and I was with another person that was not the person I'd been in the argument with. And we were talking about the argument. We were talking about the disagreement. And what I was going to do is I wasn't just going to tell him everything I told the guy. I was going to add in everything else about the guy that proved that I had to be right. All his other past mess ups. I brought in everything I could. What I didn't know is right before we got into the conversation, I had pocket called him. Had no clue. I know right where it happened. I know what I was saying. There's going through the town of Reed Springs. There's this big rock mansion thing over on your right. I was right there. I never passed that place that I don't remember this story. Driving right through there, and I was letting my friend sitting beside me know all the faults of my other friend while my other friend was listening to every word I was saying. It's kind of embarrassing to tell you this morning. But I got through town, and after you go through town and head up the next hill, you lose signal. So it shut off. The phone conversation ended. There was actually no conversation on the other end. It was all mine. I get up the hill. My phone rings. It's my friend. So I'm this. He had it all wrote out. Telling me everything I just said. And I'm like, how does he have a clue what all I just said? And I remember in the car, him saying, I heard every word you said. And before I said one word to him in rebuttal or anything, he said, I just want you to know I forgive you and I love you. And he said, I want you to think about what you did. And he hung up the phone. Oh, it still brings tears to my eyes just thinking about it. But I thought, that's God. That's God. And here's the thing. As I'm spilling out a story for you of what happened years ago, you've got to know that everybody here has a similar story. To look at the church and see sinners is one thing. To label the church full of hypocrites is another thing. What I want you to know, church, today, it's about being forgiven. It's about being forgiven. Are you getting this? It's about being forgiven. That's what it's about, being a Christian. It's about a phone call from a friend who says, I forgive you. I want you to think about what you said. And here's what God's saying. Regardless of what you did last night, Friday night, what you got in the car and talked about when you didn't pocket call somebody, God says, I forgive you. Now, why don't you think about what you did? Let's make some changes here. I forgive you. I forgive you. Church, today you're forgiven. Aren't you glad? You know Christ and you're forgiven. Life's different because you're forgiven. Does that mean you may mess up tomorrow? Yes, you probably will. But if you can get forgiveness, you can get over that. And I have never, ever pocket called somebody and talked behind their back since then. Before I start talking, I check my phone. The Apostle Paul, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, said this is a trustworthy saying and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I'm the worst of them all. That's Paul talking. He came to save sinners. Church, he came to save you today. Notice he doesn't say he was a sinner. He says that he is a sinner. He is a sinner. That's what he dealt with. It doesn't say he was still killing Christians, though. The worst of all. But here's the thing. He had progressed a little bit from his sin. Well, I don't rank sin. Killing a Christian is just as bad as sleeping with somebody, and that's just as bad as that little white lie. All of them, you are correct, separate you from God. That's what sin does. That's the consequence. Understand that it separates you from God. But there are things in this world that sin will cause some permanent consequences here. You go out and kill someone, you can just spend the rest of your life in prison. See, there are certain sins that will right there have consequences that are really big for this life. All sin separates you from God. I get that. And Paul realized that. So presently he realized, I'm a big sinner and I got to get this right. But he quit doing the things that would cause others. And to the best of his ability, he quit. He quit the errors. Oh, I just messed up again. Father, forgive me. Oh, thank you, Lord, you did. And then he understood that. And that's the life of a Christian, not the life of a hypocrite. So we got to know the difference. Since Christians are not perfect, it follows that churches are not full of perfect people. Welcome to Christian Ministries. Church full of not perfect people. It's one thing I like about it here. We value authenticity. We're a church full of forgiven failures. That's what we are. Church full of forgiven failures. When you think about it, the church is the only organization around where a public admission of failure is a requirement for membership. I think that's pretty good. A public admission of failure is required for you to be a member of the body of Christ. This place is for those who have failed, who have fallen, and if you have the courage to admit it, you're one of us. Welcome here. That's Christian Ministries Church. If you don't see your life before Christ as failure, then you won't see your need for him in the future. Let me say that again because everybody here didn't hear it and you need to hear that. Very, very point driven that I want to get up. If you don't see your life before you were a Christian as a failure, then you won't see your life and your need for him in the future. You've got to see before Christ your life as a failure, or you won't see your life after Christ as anything in need of him. And that's where many people live. The second point today, real Christians are not what they used to be. That's the past. Real Christians are not what they used to be. Let's take a look at the past. The second characteristic of a real Christian. Some of you may look at a Christian and wonder why they behave a certain way. After all, a real Christian shouldn't lose his temper, right? Or a genuine Christian shouldn't struggle with alcohol, right? See, a true Christian shouldn't swear, right? You might even think to yourself, if that's the best God can do, forget it. I expect more out of Christians. That comes from someone who hasn't experienced being a Christian. Failure does happen. Instead, I want you to know that the difference and the thing that outlines Christianity is I'm different than I was when I got saved. I've grown in the things of God. I've experienced his forgiveness, and that's a true mark of a Christian. Instead of always focusing on how far people fall short, why not think about how far they've come? Come on, there's got to be we got to think right here. And I know that we talk a lot about this is sin and we're going to call sin, sin. Sin is sin and we're not going to put it under and act like it's not. Sin is sin. What the Bible calls sin and Jesus said, go and sin no more. I get all of that. But instead of always focusing on how far people fall short and all their mess ups, why don't we look at where they were 2 years ago and go, wow. Wow, look how far they've come. There's some of that that needs to be said. I'm not saying ignore sin. I have several places in my life that I have a long way to go in. But I'm different today than I was 10 years ago. See, that's the testimony of a true Christian. You're seeing some progress here. You see me as pastor. Those that know me from my past see something much different standing right here today. They do. If you'd known me before I placed my full belief and trust in Christ, you probably wouldn't have liked me. It took a lot of convincing to get my wife to like me. I mean, I worked hard. She's like, I didn't have any place or I didn't have room to like you. You liked yourself too much. Church, there's a lot of people like me in this church. We're all in process, aren't we? Come on, let's be on the same page here. We're all in process. Even though we have a long way to go, praise God, we're not what we used to be. We're not what we used to be. I'm growing in the things of God. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone's in Christ, they're a new creature, a new creation. Old things passed away. I've got things becoming new every day. See, those of you that have surrendered your lives to Christ have become someone new. You're not what you used to be. And daily you're doing some of that bearing of old people, old persons, old habits, and learning the new. If you got everything there was at salvation, then the Bible wouldn't talk about spiritual immaturity and spiritual maturity. Now, I believe you got all of Jesus you can get when you get saved, but all the principles that you need to learn to live by and the things you need to bury is a lifetime of figuring out. It's a lifetime of figuring it out. And so daily, we have to die to something else that God brings up to our, oh man, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said it like that. See, there's a growing that needs done, and we got to be careful to realize a true mark of Christianity is growing in the things of God. Y'all get this? Forgiveness and growth. The last one, number three. Real Christians are becoming what they will be. Their future. Focus on that for just a moment. A real Christian is a forgiven sinner who's been changed by how they used to be, but here's the new story. They will be transformed completely and will become perfect one day. And that's not going to happen in this life, but at death, we'll be radically changed and spend eternity with Christ. Radically changed. God, through the Holy Spirit, provides some divine house cleaning. Come on, let's give him a hand. Father, we're grateful. When we mess up, he prompts us to confess us. He gives us the courage and the humility to ask forgiveness. He gives us the power to live the way the Bible teaches. He develops the character of Christ within us and causes the fruit of the Spirit to ripen up in our lives. See, that's our future. I know that I may have said that wrong, but come next week, I'll say it better. So that's what we got to do. As authentic Christ followers, we experience forgiveness of sin and life change as we surrender to Jesus on a daily basis. A daily basis. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this. Confident of this. That he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. That's why being a Christian gives me hope. Come on, praise God he's not finished with me yet. Praise God he's not finished with you yet. And if the church can get a hold of this, we're not condoning sin. We're just trying to build people to a point where they recognize their need of forgiveness, their understanding that that is not the person that I'm going to be. Here's the person I'm headed towards. And we start living that way. There's a dissonance in all of our lives between what we know is right and the way that we may be currently living. Think about that. Think about that. Most of us seek to present an image of ourselves that is better than we really are. In that sense, there are times that we're kind of hypocritical. So I get that when someone says, I don't know, those hypocrites up there. As a Christian, I have some inside information that keeps me from being discouraged with the reality of this little discrepancy in my life. I know that God is daily narrowing the gap between where I am and where I'm going to be. Daily, he's narrowing that gap from where I am right now and where I'm going to be. Why? Because I'm pressing on. I'm headed towards the call that God has in and for my life. See, there's no need for cover-ups. In Christianity, I'm freed from hypocrisy, and I can take my mask off. I can take my mask off. I can take my mask off. Boy, you're a hypocrite. Praise God, you're right. I've been saved by the blood of Jesus, and because of what he did, you can call me a hypocrite all day long when I'm telling you I'm a forgiven, born-again believer. Let me show you the marks that I can tell you that are of Christianity. I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. I have life and life abundant. Why? Because I'm forgiven. I'm not the man I used to be. Past, present, and future becomes all about Jesus. And we got to start being represented on Friday nights as well as Sunday mornings. And when I say we, I'm talking about the church. Young people represent the church in school. People represent the church at your job. Represent the church. Well, how do I do that? By not being a hypocrite, but understanding that we're not expecting perfection here. That's why we all need Jesus. But we're not okay in sin either. See, you got, it's just, there's such a fine line there, and the devil's trying everything he can to discredit Christianity. And this pastor and this church is going to do everything we can to teach the truth so that we know the difference. There's a difference between a Christian who occasionally sins, which is called a saint, and a hypocrite. But they can look real different from the world's eyes. Come on, you get that. You say, well, that's the way I see it. I see all of them as hypocrites. Then you need saved because you don't understand the true mark of a Christian. The true understanding. We got to have the right outlook. As we build the kingdom of God, we got to understand the word and make it real and relevant in our lives. Y'all stand with me today.
We hope that you've been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. For more messages or information about Christian Ministries Church, go to www.cmchurch.net.